May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So when I go on vacation or on retreat, I like to turn off my phone, not get any calls or texts. I don't look at the news. I just stay away from media of all kinds. But of course, that means I miss whatever happened while I was away. Last year, I was on a retreat, and as I was getting ready to drive back, turn my phone back on, and I wondered about what news I might have missed. And I actually thought, I wonder if there was another, you know, mass shooting or anything. And the first thing I saw when I logged on was the news of the San Bernardino shooting. I just returned from a week of vacation, and it was good to have time with my family, but I had some trepidation that I'd come back to hear about yet another tragedy. It's getting to be a little too familiar of a routine. After the most recent tragic violence in Orlando, our Lexington Interfaith Clergy Group hosted a vigil on the town green. It was a lovely event, and over 200 people showed up. We're really good at it now. That does not make me happy. We've had too much practice at mourning after national tragedies. I remember getting into this pulpit the Sunday after the Newtown shooting, and we all said, "This has to change everything. This can never happen again." Well, it happened again, and again, and again. What do we do? What can we do? Do we just cry out like the psalmist? How long, O Lord, how long? For me, this year's 4th of July celebration is definitely tinged with a question of where we are as a country right now. And I don't just mean shootings. I'm also thinking about the lack of civility in our political discourse. I'm thinking about what seems like an ever-widening gap between social and economic classes. I'm thinking about how things feel more dangerous, less safe, especially to those who are immigrants, to those who are Muslim, especially to those in our LGBTQ community. Tomorrow is the birthday of our country. Country are we living in? In many ways, we are living up to the high ideals of our founders. Everyone can vote. We have the freedom to make choices about our life. And this is where refugees want to come. These things are not to be taken for granted. But also, in some ways, we are not all that we wish or hope that we could be. Jesus talked about another country, a place called the Kingdom of God. And the message he asked his friends to share was that the Kingdom of God is near. He told them, whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick, and say to them, the Kingdom of God has come near you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe it off in protest against you. Yet know this, the Kingdom of God has come near. So no matter if they were received with warmth and hospitality or rejected, no matter how things were going, the message was the same. The Kingdom of God is near. Whether you accept it or reject it, it's near you. When we read about Jesus' words and deeds, we sometimes forget that he was living in and responding to a very violent and difficult time. His home country was subject to a brutal occupation by the Romans. And non-biblical sources tell us that Pontius Pilate, the Roman ruler of the area, was not really the wishy-washy guy that we read about in the Gospels, but actually repeatedly sent soldiers to harass and beat and even kill innocent people. Plenty of Jesus' contemporaries advocated taking up arms and throwing the Romans out. In fact, they tried to do just that a few decades after Jesus died. So it's in the midst of all that political upheaval and daily violence that Jesus is saying, go and knock on some doors and remind people that God is here, that God loves them. And by the way, don't take anything with you. Just be empty-handed. Jesus was not a milk toast. He wasn't saying, let's just smile and be happy and pretend everything's all right, even though it was not. He knew he was asking his friends to do something immensely difficult and also immensely important. But he knew, like so many practitioners of nonviolence after him, that it was the only way, the only solution. Only love casts out hate. So what do you do in the face of violence, of political upheaval and uncertainty? You knock on doors and tell people that God loves them, knowing that it will be the hardest thing you ever do. So what do we do today? Our tendency is kind of to do nothing, isn't it? Hope it will all blow over. Hold our family closer, maybe read up on emergency preparedness. But this is not a time when Christians can sit down and be quiet. This is a crucial time to stand up and proclaim the gospel. A clergy friend of mine pointed out, the quieter we are about the good news of the power of love, the power of reconciliation, the fact that we are not separate from each other, but are all one humanity, regardless of race or religion or who we love, the more dangerous our times will become. It's only when we stand up and are even louder in proclaiming that love conquers hate, that the freedom that the founders of our country established is for everyone, not just some, that is that we can make things better and safer. It is in times just like this that we need to be sharing the gospel more boldly and more actively than ever. So how do we do that? Well, some actions might be very everyday things, personal things. Speaking up when a coworker says something that's racist or homophobic. Acting with respect towards the hardworking person who sells us coffee. Some actions might be local and close to home. Finding a home for refugees in our community, as we learned about from LexRap a couple weeks ago. Visiting a local mosque. Working together with someone from another faith in our interfaith community garden. And some are about maybe exercising our citizenship. Call a senator. Write a check to a cause that you believe in. And vote. All are about proclaiming the good news. We can't afford to be quiet, private Christians, keeping our faith only to ourselves in these days. We need to be loud and proud about our faith, our belief in, as the prayer book puts it, striving for justice and peace among all people, seeking and serving Christ in all persons, and upholding the dignity of every human being. We need to shout at the top of our lungs that love is stronger, more powerful than hate and fear. As Diana Butler Bass puts it, perform faith, display the kingdom in all you do, anticipate the reign of God in your spiritual practices, act up and act out for God's love. When we stand up and proclaim the good news in all these ways, Jesus warned us what will happen. Some will accept and be allies in this effort to share and spread love, and others will reject us and show us the door. Either way, it's fine. A few slammed doors are not a reason to stop We wipe our feet and keep going. The kingdom of God.